This is Rashid Chappelle. You're now listening to Hip Hop Digest. This is the home of real hip hop. This is the place where you find the authentic. Make sure you tune in and check us out. Peace. 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 Peace.
As black people, peace. We would rather beg than build our own. That's what this whole Deion Sanders situation truly illustrates. Rather than build our own great program, dynasty, legacy, rather than build our own platform, we'd rather go beg white people to give us access to their platform. That's what this is. Deion Sanders had an awesome opportunity, and not just Deion Sanders, a lot of the black celebrities that you hear running their mouths about Black Lives Matter and diversity, equity, and inclusion, and black coaches just don't get a chance. All these people that are so pro-black, you won't hear one black celebrity today, tomorrow, next week, anytime last week say, oh man, I'm mad Deion left Jackson State because I was going to donate $50 million to Jackson State's football program and athletic program in order to keep that thing rolling. You won't hear P. Diddy say that. You won't hear LeBron James say that. You won't hear Dr. Dre, who gave $70 million to USC. You won't hear him say that. You won't hear Oprah Winfrey. You won't hear any of the people, any of the alleged pro-blacks talking today or any, man, you know why I'm mad Deion left? It's because I was just about to dump a bunch of money into Jackson State and really try to take SWAC football to the next level. You won't hear it. You won't hear it. You won't hear it. You won't hear it. You won't hear it.
It's the return. Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Of the Funky Man. It's your boy, Kurt G.
And I am still E. Green.
All right. This is... endorsed, support, no, what is that? Endorsed by E. Green, or is that supposed to be, I approve this message,
E. Green. Yeah, I approve this message.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And all credit applications will be received.
All right.
They might not get approved, but they will be received.
All right. So we're in good voice at Hip Hop Digest. We've been out of the lab for several weeks. Just due to general life issues when you're dealing with grown men who working for a living.
Yeah, niggas got to go get that bag.
So
get it.
Yeah, and you know what? And folks shouldn't even be mad. Everybody else, you know, you got to get that bag. It's about the bag. So, but anyway, we're back to serve you and happy to be back. No doubt about it. And so, before we start proper, there's a couple of announcements on some way backup shows that I wanted to clear up. I'm still on my 300 CD Jazz Odyssey, bought another 6 CDs today. But I remember I was telling you that the Dana Owens joint wasn't Dana Owens, the jazz joint. It's Queen Latifah.
Oh, wow.
Me and Kurt G was in here looking at that. I pulled it out. I was like, oh, wow. Wait till I tell Egri.
It's Queen Latifah singing, son.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, she was early. She was ahead of the game, I guess.
Indeed. So I wanted to clear that up and whatnot. So anyway, we got a lot of topics. I don't know if we're going to get through all the topics just because there's just so many and we've been out. And some stuff from the Wayback Machine that I wanted to talk about. But, and, you know, I guess we're going to do what we do.
All right.
So first topic on the Hip Hop Digest is we're going to start because, there's been a few deaths. We're going to start and we're going to honor folks that have passed on and have lived a good life and a wonderful life. And first on that list is Irene Cara, the Bronx, yeah. New York. We say rest in peace to her. Irene Cara rose to prominence as Coco Hernandez in the 1980 musical Fame. And for the recording of the song's title, Fame, reached number one in several countries. For you young bulls who don't really know what time it is, Fame was that deal. And that Fame, that lyric, Fame, I Wanna Live Forever, is crazy because that's one of pop music's biggest hits. You know what I mean? No doubt. And as well as in 1983, Cara co-wrote the song Flashdance, What a Feeling. We talking about pop hits, right? I mean, those two records alone, I'm retiring.
Oh, yes, sir.
You hanging up the Spurs, my nigga?
Man, them two records alone were just monsters. You know what I mean? And then, you know, of course, Irene Cara, What a Feeling from the Flashdance movie, won an Academy Award for that joint, the original best original song for best female pop vocal. So she got a couple Grammys off that joint. You know what I mean? And people don't really realize that Cara actually, before she blew up, you know, before she blew up with fame and Flashdance, she played the title character Sparkle Williams on the original Broadway play of Sparkle.
Yep.
Yeah. So we say rest in peace to Irene Cara. You know, job well done. Indeed. Next on that list is rest in peace to Granddaddy IU.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a shocker.
That was a shocker. Queens, New York representative. You know what I mean? Was signed to Cold Chillin' from through Biz Markie. Guess he put out a demo tape. Biz Markie heard it, and then Biz Markie signed it. Came out with his first album in 1990 called Smooth Assassin. Now, think about Granddaddy IU. I remember Granddaddy IU used to take a beating a little bit because a lot of people was like, he was just, Cold Chillin' was really looking for a replacement for Big Daddy Kane. And they were like, yo, he's a poor man's Big Daddy Kane. You know, he came out with the suits.
Yeah,
he came out with the suits or whatever. I don't know how true that really was. I mean, I was a Granddaddy IU fan. That's Something New is my junk. Yeah, I remember that. You know what I mean? So, but in any case, but my favorite record of his really wasn't until his second album and his last album on Cold Chillin', Lead Pipe. Which leads to the 12-inch Represent.
He is.
There it is. And I got a few other Granddaddy IU, Something New. I got the Lead Pipe LP. So I got, you know, I got the Granddaddy IU's on vinyl.
You know what's funny is looking at that album cover from my vantage point way over here, it looks like Common. Remember when Common was dressing like that?
Oh yeah, with the fashion, with the vest, and yeah, of course. Yeah. No doubt.
They used to love her.
Still do.
Indeed. So anyway, Lead Pipe and then Represent, the single off the album, was my joint. So I really, really appreciate that. What else is going on with Granddaddy IU here? And really pretty much after that, he really quit rapping or really wasn't on the scene for like a decade, you know. And then in the mid-2000s, he started putting out joints. He actually put a record out in 2020. I haven't heard it or whatever, but the Discogs is crazy right now.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
With that tax.
Profiting off of that.
Off the tax.
I don't know if it was off of that. I think it was just pressed in so limited quantities, I think, that it would have been a high price record no matter what. I think the lowest I've seen was about $1.50.
Damn.
And whatnot. And another thing, as far as Granddaddy IU, actually, he really did have some beef with Biz Markie. I didn't go into that during about some writing credits. And one more big writing credit that is always a mystery to me is about who wrote Roxanne Shanté's Big Mama.
Oh, well, you know who I think wrote it.
Well, I think it's, I think it's.
Who does it sound like wrote it?
This is what I'm saying. I think it's three people who could have wrote that. I think it's either, I think Coogee Rap, I think Big Daddy Kane, or I think Granddaddy IU. I think one of the three wrote Big Mama. So, G, who you think wrote Big Mama?
I say Kane.
You say Kane? Swerve, who you think?
It sounds like a reference record to me. Even Coogee Rap's inflections and lisp is on her shit. So, to me, Coogee.
Oh, okay. Then it's going to be split down the middle. Because I think Granddaddy IU wrote that.
Wow.
So, indeed. I knew. Like I said, there's only three people I suspect wrote one of the greatest unknown disc records of all time. But, you know, I guess I don't know if that will ever be, if Shanté will ever say.
I think folks should listen to it and kick in their ideas of what they think.
Indeed. No doubt. So as we move on, rest in paradise to Granddaddy IU. As we move on, rest in peace to former coach, obviously, Paul Silas. Rest in peace to him. He is from Prescott, Arkansas. He hails from Prescott, Arkansas. Silas was actually selected by the St. Louis Hawks in the second round of the 1964 NBA draft. 12th overall pick, if you didn't know, his playing career. I don't really know anything about his playing career. I really only really knew about him when he was the coach of the Charlotte Hornets at that time. He came to the Hornets staff in 1997. By 1990, he was their He came in 1997. By 1999, he was their full-time coach all the way up to when they moved to New Orleans. So he was there for a long time. I think the thing that I remember about him mostly, though, is when Bobby Fields died and the grief on his face, and as he tried to shepherd that team and the league through that tragic death, was something I really remember about Paul Silas, and his leadership in that is unmatched, in my opinion. You know? And then the second thing, a lot of people, maybe some of the young boys may understand, that Silas was hired to be the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers from 2003 to 2005 to mentor a then very young 18-year-old LeBron James in his being his first coach of his professional career. So very, very highly thought, very, very respected NBA player and coach. We say rest in peace to Mr. Paul Silas.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And last but not least, and certainly not least of the rest in peace situations, is that we say rest in peace to Jim Stewart. And you may ask, who's Jim Stewart? Well, Jim Stewart is from Middletown, Tennessee, and Jim Stewart was a music producer and a music executive who in 1957 co-founded with his sister Estelle Stax Records.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
That's that funk.
What?
Yes, sir.
What? Of course, one of the leading record companies during the soul and R&B music's heyday. That's the way it was written. So they said in 1959, he moved the label and the recording studios into the former Capitol Theater Auditorium and converted the auditorium into a studio space. And basically, they say the room was tilted, right? And he never fixed it. And he said that made a quirk in the recordings. That's why the reason why Stax Records, a lot of them sound like they are heavy bass. Because he never fixed the floors.
Wow.
There's a very interesting story about that. The different acoustics on that. So, but the thing about this, running a record label must be really difficult. Because after selling millions and millions of records, Stax went bankrupt in 1976. And I think that actually, that particular studio that they recorded all those hits in burnt down. There is a documentary about that.
Wow.
I'm sure out there. The people that recorded on Stax Records, and this is just a partial list.
That's unbelievable.
William Bell, Booker T and the MGs, Eddie Floyd, Isaac Hayes, Otis Redding, Carla Thomas, Sam and Dave. That's just a partial list, my G. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even mention the Barquets, which I should have.
Well, you did now. And there's more.
Right. And that's just a partial list. So we say rest in peace out to Jim Stewart, the co-owner and co-creator of Stax Records.
That's just unbelievable amount of fucking hip hop samples.
Oh my goodness.
What?
That label can rival anybody with hip hop samples.
You're right. Yep. You're right. And I'm sure the information is out there. It's one of the things that, you know, maybe in a future show we may just pick a label and then just run through, because we're not even talking about a dozen samples. We're talking about
hundreds.
Right.
Hundreds, you know what I mean? So
and great ones at that.
Oh, son, plenty of hits. So no doubt, indeed. So that's that portion of the Hip Hop Digest. Like I said, we had a lot of things jumping off here. There's old news that I kind of wanted to get to that I wish we really could have got to.
And why can't we get to
well,
it?
Well, here we are.
We're going to get to, okay, the first thing I want to get to, and I guess I'm just going to get down to it like this here, is that we're going to get down to the 21 Savage Nas, which I thought was pretty interesting how the whole thing played out. That's a good thing about waiting and discussing it now, because it, you know how everybody on the Digest knows that. 21 Savage with the comment, Nas ain't relevant. Okay, you would expect that.
I mean, we did touch it.
We did talk about that part. Yeah,
we did. We talked about that part.
Yeah, that was the last show.
Okay,
that we did. Yeah.
So,
and I said he was partially right.
Well, and then subsequently, and how it played out is interesting to me, because how it played out is ended in a throwaway record.
He said a throwaway.
Oh, this record is a throwaway. You know, and I know Cats on the Dodge just was like, yo, I really like how it ended. You know, two men coming together. Nas really showing leadership.
He's saying the Digest, but he's talking about the text chain.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, the text chain. But, and I'm like.
So how did you feel about
it? I'm that guy.
So you're that guy.
I'm that guy.
Still that guy.
Yeah, fuck that nigga. You know what I mean? I'm not making record. Look, I think 21 Savage learned his lesson by understanding that, okay, yeah, if you're making records with that Canadian cat, is Nas really a factor in that? Okay, from his perspective, like Swerve said, partially he was right. But you have no standing. You know what I mean? So it's just like somebody on a sidewalk lawyer. You know what I'm saying? They ought to sue his ass, but you can't go into court. B, you have no standing. You know, you have you didn't pass the bar. You didn't go to college. 21 Savage, and the record proves it. You got Nas with throwaway verses, right? And doing that, he probably sent his vocals in on a drunken limo ride between the fucking airports to go into the next city on tour, okay? 21 Savage, barely, and I mean barely, competent. The flow is just horrible. And I'm just saying, why would Nas do it? When every record, you know what I'm saying? When every record is part of your resume.
He did it to prove his relevance.
Gee, why would he do it?
Why would Nas do it, or why would 21 Savage do it?
I know why 21 Savage did it. You mean 21 Savage basically is the equivalent of us, you know what I'm saying? Me and Swerve going into the locker room after we, the Eagles, won the Super Bowl and getting pictures with the Lombardi and everybody on that team. That's what 21 Savage got. Okay? Wow. Yeah, that's what he got. You
so that's
know?
What he was looking for.
That's what he got.
Okay.
Okay. But why would there's, I mean.
So I say Nas did it for the reason that niggas on the text chain said. He did it just so that there's no beef. There's no bullshit popping off. There's no young boy against old head shit with this thing here. Since they got it together and they were on the same record, now the young boys can chill the fuck out. Stop trying to crush Nas. Nas ain't relevant, he old nigga. Now that's done. That's water under the bridge. And then Nas can also show that, you know what? I'm going to reach out to the young man instead of scolding him like so many of my peers have done, including us.
Yes.
Instead of scolding him and beating him down, saying, nigga, you ain't shit. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to do a record with you. And then in doing the record with him, it proved that nigga ain't shit to me, that his lyrical ability ain't shit. Not that his business acumen and his hit-making ability, yes, the nigga does that. But as far as his lyrical ability, he has none. He has zero lyrical ability.
I just don't understand why it is not permissible to state the obvious here. okay, 21 Savage probably has an incredible ability to make money, and then he's got records out there with that Canadian cat. I mean, so, you know, he's got money. I mean, that's obvious. And I can say that with confidence, I'm sure. You know what I'm saying? But it's not permissible to say, you know, but that cat trash, though. I mean, on that mic, on that craft, yo, he trash.
Is that Canadian cat? Is he a feral cat, or he's a house cat? That Canadian cat.
Yeah, he's a feral cat, my G. He out in the streets jumping on anything.
Wow.
But anyway, okay, so we're going to have to hit these topics, you know, relatively quickly. I stated my thing, but it's no surprise that I would have my opinion on that the way it would be. Yeah, okay, congratulations and whatnot. Okay, no doubt. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is what I found to be particularly interesting here, and I got to scroll to it. Oh, here we go. So you have the specter of veterans who are not taking their fiduciary duty seriously.
Oh, shit. This Uh-oh. Nigga drug out a big word, too.
Okay, yeah, because the problem is that you got Fat Joe.
Uh-oh.
The specter of Fat Joe, who is the biggest panda out there, okay? Mm. Man, that motherfucker need to be in a bow tie, you know what I'm saying? Panda, bow tie, everything. But Fat Joe is not taking care of his fiduciary duties. Talking about that he took Trick Daddy and who's the other Latin kid? Pitbull, and got them... he got them signed, or at least he says he's responsible for getting them signed because he took the demo to the major. Therefore, otherwise, you have Luke who's saying, well, I put him on.
And yes, he did.
and yes, of course he did. But see, the problem when you don't take responsibility with your duty is that Fat Joe knows that information.
Well, he should know that information.
Nah, Fat Joe knows that information, but he wants credit. And that's a problem with cats like Fat Joe. You personally want credit when all you really had to say was, I'm the guy who took the demo up to the majors. They did record on Luke Records or some version of Luke Records, but they didn't really get paid. And at that point, you'd probably have backups. You'd probably have Shadi saying, well, yeah, that's how Luke get down. I didn't get paid. Or you'd have... you know, people like the Buffalo Soldiers who recorded on Crew LaPoo Records, which is an offshoot of Luke, you know, they probably did get paid. And Luan Love and all these other people who down through Luke Records never got paid. Okay. Pitbull and Trick Daddy probably were in the same position. But if Fat Joe doesn't say that, and then he probably would have got automatic backups from everybody who was on the label.
Well, B, I see your angle, okay. But I'm a raise you.
My
I'm
man.
Raise you angle.
My man.
What the corporate dude, what'd he say? Men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie, whatever.
Indeed.
That's true. And knowing that, we have a billion podcasters who really ain't up. So when they have somebody of that stature on saying something... like that, they don't know to question, or they don't know to follow up, or they don't know to address the full story. And so, though I do take some kind of feelings about the whole new Fat Joe, we know that, I've said it
right.
A bunch of times. But if he were on the Hip Hop Digest show, we wouldn't have been no diss fest or nothing like that, but it would have been addressed. It would have been like, but how exactly did you put him on? What exactly do you mean you put him on?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And I don't think that a lot of podcasters have the background to even address that kind of stuff.
So he basically was given an open mic.
The way they asked the question, or the way he framed the question, was he was correcting what he said. The way he, what the answer that he gave. But the real truth in the small print that nobody read, Luke was responsible for actually putting these niggas on and getting them exposure as far as people knowing who they were.
Because
on that level, as far as down south.
Well, Fat Joe would have never heard these two gentlemen if that Luke isn't already on. Fat Joe's not putting in the work. Fat Joe's not putting in demo work in South Florida to hear Pitbull and Trick Daddy.
Well, somebody passed it to him. I don't know if he was back then. Nah. I don't know if he was down with your boy Khaled, because Khaled was in Miami.
It wasn't even a demo tape. He knew about them because of their recordings and their work on Luke, some version of Luke Records, Skywalker. I'm not sure who, but that's where Fat Joe hears that. Okay. Other than that, Fat Joe's not hearing this silent, you know, these cassette demos. If he was, he's getting the credit for taking them up Atlantic way before Luke is recording them. So I'm calling him on that. I'm calling him on the carpet. I can 99.9% guarantee it. And that goes for all of these industry cats.
Well, Joe is positioning himself as hip hop.
Well, he is.
You know what I mean.
I know what you're saying, but I mean, he knows his shit. I ain't gonna front on him, Joe, that he don't know his shit. But in this case right here, he probably, like you said, he should have gave credit where credit was due. Even if he gave just a little bit, at least as long as you mention Luke's name in this conversation,
then he would have been covered. Yep.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So King Killer would have been like, well, what's the story behind Luke? And you know what I'm saying? Or something like that. Versus just letting that whole stream of consciousness flow.
No, I got you.
It did.
Right. I got you. All right. No doubt. All right. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is we haven't been on since the election. I want to say congratulations to the state of Georgia. You did it. You did not elect the shithead. I just want to say that as a personal, you know, I'm just gratified at the state of Georgia. I'm gratified at the African Americans who got out, like I've been trying to tell you. It is the African Americans who got out in the Atlanta suburbs, you know, who is Savannah and other places that I'm totally not familiar with. But I've looked at the map and kind of studied it a little bit. It was African American turnout that got it done. Keep trying to tell you that.
Golf clap, I guess.
B.
It turned out to be a golf clap because your girl was in Arizona, put a monkey wrench in the system.
I don't want to talk about them shitheads either, but the point I'm saying is that I just want to congratulate Georgia for getting that done. And again, come on, B. There's no way you can look at Herschel Walker and be like, yo, do you really want this cat?
Yeah, that was pretty.
But the thing is that it actually came down to this.
It did. And he still got a lot of votes.
He still got a lot of votes.
Yeah, he did.
It ain't like he was out there and got demolished. He was out there and the shit, they was counting.
Yeah. But you know what I appreciate more than any of that shit you talking about? Is that it ended peacefully and gracefully.
Yes, because even Herschel Walker, like I said in the prior weeks, just basically came in and gave a concession speech and kept it moving. So I will give him credit for that.
That nigga didn't really want to do this shit. He was being pressured into that shit.
And they was telling him what to do.
Exactly. He was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm out.
So, you know what I mean?
This guy, well, you got your son getting at your neck. You got the public at your neck. I wouldn't want to do that shit either. You out of it? Yeah, never mind.
Shit, I don't need this type of shit.
Exactly.
All right, next topic.
Like, it sounds like that dude who that fly went in his mouth. That country reporter.
Yeah, country. Time for this shit.
Right. He was talking all fucking professional and shit for like 2 seconds before that. His old backwater ass fucking tap.
So. As I'm flipping through the topics, I'm going to give a shout out to Styles P.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Styles P says 21 Savage isn't a lyricist. So I'm going to give a shout out to him real quick. So,
for telling the truth?
Yeah.
For saying that A is A?
Right. I mean, you can see that.
I keep trying to say, but I'm saying it's just you. But if you're living in that world, it's just not proper for you to say. You know,
yeah, you're kind of right, because I just hope they don't have to end up making a record now.
Well, I don't see him doing it. Maybe Jada.
Actually, but you know what?
I don't see Styles P doing it.
I don't even know if I see Jada doing that. I don't know. I think there's a bridge too far.
If the check is right, Jada be in it.
Well, then, yeah, you got that suspector to check, too, yo. They can always...
The bag.
Yo, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, boy. That is one thing that the young bulls got, boy. If you want to see an old head, you want to tighten up an old head, you bring a bag, and he'll be out front in the lobby doing a jig for niggas. Yes. So... That's 100.
And we will forget all about that versus.
Niggas say, fuck what y'all talking about, nigga. This bag is right.
So,
six-figure bag, nigga,
hey,
I'm in.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what, boy. They have the best old heads out there. Shit.
Some of them what? Shine with no bag. You see that Coogee Rap with that fucking video, nigga?
Yo, shout out to Coogee Rap, who got a brand new album.
And that shit
which
is a lot better.
Yes.
It sound like Coogee Rap.
Yes, it is.
I'm like, geez. He made his comeback.
It is, but
I did not want that to be the last thing I heard.
Nah, but I tell you what, I don't know who did it, but I tell you what, I would love for somebody to find that Coogee Rap video with that young white kid, because I have tried, and I mean, I have tried.
Maybe he has some cleansers out there, like, get that shit out of here. Let me get that shit wiped out.
But in any case, yes, but we're all over the place. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is the Deion Sanders, the specter of Deion Sanders leaving Jackson State University to go to a Division I school, Colorado. A lot of African Americans upset about that. And I, for one, I'm not really upset because, again, there we go. What's the operative word for today? Bag. We know Deion left for the bag.
Well, there's been enough time that you need to be doing your research, sir.
Okay. So,
we're gonna let you do your research part.
Okay,
but I'm gonna go here and say this: a leopard. What they say about a leopard doesn't change.
Never changes stripes.
The spots or whatever. That's what Deion. This what he doesn't. That's what Deion did when he was in the league. The nigga jumped from team to team for that fucking check. And you think this nigga changed? If the check is right,
I'm
going
to
get there.
I'm going to say this. So my point of view is this. Is that Deion, of course, he comes to Jackson State, turns the program around, brings some money in. He does his thing. And at that point, he's talking about basically taking historically black universities and changing the landscape of college football. I mean, really putting a hurt in the BCS and all these motherfuckers, okay? Because at that point, I'm thinking, okay, are we going to have Deion? I know Eddie George is coaching. I don't give a fuck who it was. I don't give a fucking Emmitt Smith or any other Hall of Famers who are just going to take positions at historically black universities to have African-American athletes a place that they can come home to. That it will not affect them getting drafted into the league. That you got an entire hierarchy of professional football who, number one, will not let African-Americans be head coaches, okay? But as we go back home to historically black universities and colleges, that we flip it, okay? Yeah, Florida State, no, you don't get the pick, okay? Because he's going to Howard, or he's going to A&T, or he's going to Jackson, or Grambling, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Texas, you don't get the pick. USC, you don't get these prime athletes. No, they're here, and they're home with us. Now, I was a fool, because like you said, how Deion get down, I was a fool. I bought it, because Deion is like, God want me to be here. You know, I bought that. I got hoodwinked. You know what I mean? I admit it. I got gaffled.
You got one time got to be gaffled.
Yeah, I got gaffled. I got hoodwinked. I admit it. So I'm thinking to myself, man, if Deion brings, you know, I'm talking about Hall of Famers. I'm talking about coaches who are very good coaches who was getting passed over to the league. But that didn't happen. So now Swerve is going to give you the homework angle. I already copped dropped my plea. I bought it, and I got played.
All right, so let me just say this to start off. You played yourself.
Oh, okay.
Because as you said, Deion was going back and forth to San Francisco, Dallas, and he robbed Washington mostly.
Yes, he did.
I mean, I ain't going to say he robbed them.
No, nah, they gave it to him.
They gave him the money.
Bruce Smith gave it to him.
Yeah, they gave it to him. Haynesworth. Mm-hmm. Redskins was giving up mad money for busted players at that time in their career. But anyway, we're talking about Deion Sanders. So we cannot sit here and act like it's a bad thing that he got the bag for what he was doing. He was playing football. He was risking his life and limb to play a sport that makes billions,
okay,
even at the time he was playing.
But I got to tell you, get to the homework part about how I played myself.
No, don't rush
me,
nigga.
Okay. Rush me. He said, I'll let you talk, nigga.
Okay. I apologize.
Peacefully and respectfully.
I apologize.
So, which is why I said you played yourself, because Deion Sanders was always about getting that money. However, he did go to Jackson State with the right mentality and the right reasons. He did. And what he set out to do, he did. He made Jackson State, now, you know, already in the black community, Jackson State and the whole Southern situation with them games and the halftime shows and all, it was already big in the black community, right? But what he did was he went there and he made it even bigger than the black community. So much so that he's recruiting the number one recruit in the country, over top of Alabama and LSU and all those schools. Yeah, you're shaking your head. It's okay. I'm telling facts.
I agree. I agree. I'm not disagreeing with those facts.
I'm not going to take all night. I'm not going to take all night.
My man.
Wrap it up.
My man.
I'm just building the case. While everybody is looking at the front man, the man who actually did all this shit, who was out there mowing lawns, who was out there using his own money to pay to make the facilities better, people cannot badmouth that man. You got to look at why he got the fuck up out of there so quickly. It doesn't occur to you like, God damn, he bounced fast. You never even thought about why? Because he was getting robbed. He wasn't getting what he was due. He was being disrespected by SWAC, other coaches. It was literally, yo, I ain't mad at him at all. Because what he did was he went there and he made a big-ass difference. Big-ass difference. And should he get credit for that? Fuck yeah. For all them schools that he was playing against and filling out seats and all that. Talk about the pieces that I learned. Like, 60,000 people fill out that stadium, right? Stadium's full, 60,000. I think it was like after 40,000, he's supposed to get a cut of that. Now, don't think that doesn't happen in all these Division One white schools and stuff. You know, them Herman, or whatever, Meyer and all them Alabama coaches, they get a lot of money. But our schools, we're supposed to look at Deion and be like, nah, bruh, take that pay cut. We know they getting money, but you take the pay cut. No, I'm not here for that. I'm not here for people looking down on Deion saying he just took the money and ran. No, he brought that shit up way more than what it already was. And it was something. Jackson State and all that, Grambling, all that. That is something in reality. But he went there and made that shit way bigger than what it was. And then he got shitted on. He was supposed to get a bonus of $1 million. I'm just giving you homework, bro. He was supposed to get a bonus of $1 million. For making the championship or whatever it was. Do you know that they wanted him to pay the other coaches out of his $1 million bonus? What kind of shit is that?
So I got a question. So I got to, if you take a job like Jackson State or you take a job at any historically black university, Deion's not a dumb guy. And you already know that that endowment is not what the regular BCS schools got.
Of course.
I mean, come on, B. I mean, let's not act like... Now, it is possible. It is possible that the president of the university and some shuck-jiving-ass athletic director was playing, you know, loosey-goosey. okay, I'll give you that. I will give you that. But I thought that the righteous mission was more important, because I think all that money would have settled up eventually. Eventually. Because I'm just saying, and again, I agree, this is just me with rose-colored glasses and not seeing the forest from the trees. I admit that. But I still think that the righteous mission of bringing your kids home, and in other NFL Hall of Famers and coaches who toil in the league and getting jerked over and not even considered for the Rooney rules, they can come back home to historically black universities and turn the tide so much.
But they still can, B. Deion has already said
you
that
needed
shit up
a
lead.
Yeah, so not. Nah, but you needed a leader. The quality of which Deion got, that guys, Eddie George don't have that type. He's probably a wonderful coach, but he don't have that type of leadership and that bring that type of excitement the way Deion does. Some people have those leadership skills. Some yep. people do. Some people, most people don't.
Right. Exactly. So we're going to fault Deion? Fully recognize his
I'm not faulting,
value to that situation?
No, I'm not faulting him.
You know what? My only take on this is I'm not faulting Deion at all, because I knew what Deion was, and I'm not even confused by what he did or why he did it, because it was going to happen anyway. My only thing is he should have played out the contract. There's only a couple years left. Go ahead and knock that out and then roll the fuck out. Be like, y'all niggas ain't do what y'all said y'all was going to do. I got to go. Instead of breaking the contract the way he did. That's the only thing I say about it. But other than that, I ain't got a problem with him leaving. Because what he's doing now at Colorado is he's basically bringing SWAC coaches with him,
yep.
and getting them big paydays.
Yep.
So I'm not mad at that.
All right. Indeed. So as we keep it rocking, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Hit Boy details going broke after working with Beyonce and Rihanna. Now how is that possible?
Oh, you just mentioned two of the names that you should not say. They talk about the Beehive, and then you talk about Riri? Oh.
Yeah, bruh.
That'll have the internet all on your ass.
What are we talking about here? Hit Boy.
Well, he said after collaborating with Jay-Z and the former Kanye West, and I mean former, for the 2000 hit Niggas in Paris, he admitted that he ended up with $0 in his bank account.
Mm.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I just wonder how that happens. You know what I mean? How you working with the biggest artist on the planet and you end up with $0.
The paperwork wasn't right. That's how that happens. Because the paperwork, right, you can pop that up on anybody and be like, it's right here. I got the motherfucking receipts, my nigga. Pay me.
Although he does take responsibility for what he did wrong. He said, trying to support his friends and upcoming artists, he shared, I moved in all my homies. And then the homies moving in all their homies. He said, I got a big ass mansion with 5 studios in it. Artists living with me, it was a recipe for disaster. So it wasn't like he didn't get paid. He fucked up his own money.
Did it to yourself.
Got that part, huh?
That part.
Well, I'm saying, it's just funny how these headlines make you think, like, after working with like Wifey and Riri, stiffed him on the check.
Yeah, but that's the way. That's that clickbait, my nigga.
That's the headline.
Look at all these rumors.
Ooh. Oh, I thought he was gonna hit that headlines. Headlines.
Yeah,
I thought he was gonna hit that one. So yeah, so in the interview, Hit-Boy basically says that I ended up with $0 after all the money that was given to me. Okay. And then I had to cut cats back. And it's hard sometimes for us to cut our homies back. You know? I mean, maybe it's not hard because your homies is respecting you, and that's your job. And yo, son, hit me if you get back in town or whatever, that type of thing or whatever. But if your homie shows up at the doorstep, you know what I'm saying? And then talking about, well, son, you got to pay for everything. I'm like, damn, nigga, can you drive Uber and put some money in your pocket?
Damn, son. Nah. Why you got to have a Bentley? Because I got one. Damn. <Ooh.
laughs> It just shows a cautionary tale, again, of what we do sometimes. You know, people get money and then homies, families, you don't want to drag people down. I need my bill paid. You know, okay, I'm going to pay the gas bill. You ain't get the gas bill for the last 3 months. You paid it in April. Huh?
Ooh, damn. What, you ain't paying no bills? You just sitting there waiting for me?
Oh, it ain't like you ain't got it.
I got it. But get yours, though, my nigga.
What happened to yours?
I got to get mine. You got to get yours.
Oh, Tupac, we are hitting it tonight.
Hey, give MC Breed his credit. Breed.
That's true. That was his record, no doubt.
Tupac just took over.
Yeah, that's true, no doubt. So, all right, no doubt. And let's see what else I got going on here.
I'm still scrolling trying to find that damn record, Coogi Rap,
nigga.
Where he's on the pier. Because the video was made, I saw it.
It was.
Oh, we saw that and we talked about it. On Hell this damn yeah. show, we definitely did. Like, damn, this nigga done jumped a shark.
No doubt. Okay, I do got some breaking news here.
Uh-oh.
I do got some breaking news here. It's probably not that breaking. Obviously, by post, everyone will know about it. Atlanta rapper Gunner released after pleading guilty to RICO charges.
Oh, wow.
Gunner's out.
So he's out on what?
So it says Atlanta rapper.
Hold on.
It says Atlanta rapper Gunner has been released from jail after he pleaded guilty to a racketeering conspiracy charge in a sweeping gang indictment against him. A rapper Young Thug and several other alleged members of the Young Slime Life criminal street gang organization. All right.
He done told.
Well,
that's what it looked like.
So,
and that's not good for him if he out here in these streets.
So I'm not even going to read the hard body of the topic about what, because I'm going to get down to the statement. And God damn it, I had it. I got to get down to his statement. Okay. After being released. And I'm going to let you comment, both of you gentlemen, after I get his statement, because it is very interesting, to say the least. Okay, here we go. After his release, through his lawyer, he released a statement, okay? And the statement says, and I'm going to read it verbatim, "While I have agreed to always be truthful, I make it perfectly clear that I have not made any statements, I have not been interviewed, I have not cooperated, I have not agreed to testify to be a witness for any party, prosecution, or defendant. I have absolutely no intention of being involved in the trial process in any way." So, according to what I read earlier, he had got 5 joints, okay? He did a buck. They counted a buck for good time. And I believe that the other year is a year probation and 500 hours of community service. And the other 3 years are suspended. So I think it's an issue, because the streets are going to be like, there's no way you walk from RICO charges. Okay. Now, his statement says, and I want to repeat this again. I want to be perfectly clear.
That statement is funny, my nigga. Because I'm thinking,
I ain't said nothing.
I'm thinking from the perspective right now. My whole perspective is on a straight street nigga level, and that shit is funny to me.
Well, expand about what you think is funny about this statement.
I'm saying this nigga is like, please call off the shooters. Please call them off. I'm telling you, I ain't talking to nobody. I ain't do shit. Please do not kill me. That's what that nigga's saying.
I'm not even involved in those street shit, especially none of this young boy foolishness. But the statement is, and I want to read it one more time. While I have agreed to always be truthful, I want to make it perfectly clear that I have not made any statements. I have not been interviewed. I have not cooperated. I have not agreed to testify to be like a witness.
Right now. Please don't kill me, please.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I have not agreed to testify to be a witness for the prosecution or defendant.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I'm telling you, this is absolutely incredible.
That nigga's basically begging for his life, my nigga. Basically, that's what he's doing right there. And it's sad. It's some sad shit.
I mean, is it possible that they really didn't have any evidence against Gunner?
Is it possible? It is. And
but he did plead guilty to RICO charge, though.
Mm. He pled guilty to that. And see, that's how the this is the feds playing with his fucking mind and fucking with people. Because they put him out in the streets as bait, my nigga.
Wow. And I just sent y'all some bait on your text. The song is fucking called Wicked.
Yes. Yes. It is. That's true. So it is called
Grant.
Yes. You're right. But can you find that video, though?
But yeah, I didn't find a video, but I sent you the song.
Oh, that is. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Okay. Very good. You know, there was a legal term for what he did. And I cannot find that as I scroll through, but it is a particular legal term which you agree to plead guilty. Oh, here it is. He said the rapper entered into a negotiated plea, which is known as an Alford plea, in which the defendant doesn't admit he committed a crime, but acknowledged that it is in his best interest to plead guilty. The charge Gunner faced was one count of a conspiracy to violate the Racketeering Influence and Corruption Act. So he entered, that's what it's called, an Alford plea, that it was in his best interest to plead guilty.
The feds can keep their reputation intact. He pled guilty.
Mm.
Wow. That's a bad look, as he used to say.
But in the streets, his nigga is looking like fucking meat right now.
Man.
I don't know, B. I think he's loved enough in the streets that he probably
nigga, will, you don't know the streets.
I don't know, B. I don't know.
Niggas would turn on you in a half a second if they think you fucking talking to the fucking streets, my nigga.
Yes. Yes, they will.
Is he?
Yeah.
So let me. I'm just saying. Is he Alpo?
Nah, I don't think he's Alpo. Because he didn't do that type of shit.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, this nigga, he basically letting the niggas know, basically from his own fucking crew, nigga, please, I didn't do this. I'm just taking this charge just so I could get out and be free.
All right, that's what it sounds like. An Alford plea. It looked like he took the charge to get out.
Damn.
All right.
And just to wrap this up real quick, I'm believing that the video got pulled. It says this video is private, and I've searched several places, and it ain't to be seen.
Okay, because I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna tell you, for those who haven't seen this, and this is Coogee Rap looked like he was in a bad way on that video too.
Washed up.
Yeah. Oh, it was insane. But the new album. And I've listened to probably about 60% of it. It's pretty good. He sounds fresh.
He ain't messing with Grant.
That's a good thing.
Right. So, all right, as I continue on here on the Hip Hop Digest. So it's the holiday season.
It is.
So it's the holiday season, and I was doing a little bit of research for another thing. And I was coming across three records that you might want to listen to as you're listening to your Christmas music.
Okay.
I got a couple of selections for you. Okay. The first selection is Duke Ellington. Okay. Damn. Yes. Duke Ellington. Back. I'm saying Duke Ellington. The American Mozart, if you will. Okay. Yeah. Duke Ellington did a pretty much like a remix in 1960. the record that he remixed was a record originally called Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy by Tchaikovsky, or I'm butchering this original composer name. Is that how that is?
So I think that's how you say it, Tchaikovsky.
Tchaikovsky, yes. Duke Ellington basically remixed it, and he called his version Sugar Rum Cherry.
Wow.
It is extraordinary.
Sound like something I want to drink and eat.
I'm saying, right? Yeah, I mean, Duke Ellington, literally, I mean, it's his own composition, but it's extraordinary. Shout to Duke Ellington.
That's one of the CDs you bought?
No, I didn't know. I just was doing some other research for holiday music. And the second thing that I want to talk about is something that we already know. It's widely played during Christmas time. Clarence Carter, Backdoor Santa.
That track is crazy.
1968. But we know that track is the looped up track for
Run DMC.
Yeah. Run DMC Christmas in Hollis.
Yeah.
Right. And I got to tell you, you know, Clarence Carter is really talking about, again, in translation, Backdoor Santa, 2 a.m., I'm coming to hit.
Yep.
That's what Clarence Carter talking about.
Yeah, so he talked about that the kind of stuff a lot.
Yeah, Clarence Carter was like that on that anyway. But
that lightweight song, that shit that everybody liked to sing, I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. What do you think the fuck was happening there?
Well, right. Indeed. But anyway, but yeah, so Clarence Carter, 1968, Atlantic Records, Backdoor Santa, and you can do a lot of inferring. Which led me to the next record, which is Albert King, Santa Claus Wants Some Lovin', 1974.
Was this some YouTube shit?
And real talk, let me tell you something about Albert King. This is on Stax Records, by the way.
Albert King is nice.
Let me tell you something about Albert King. Albert King is straight up saying, it's late, I can't find my pliers, I'm trying to put this bike together, but Santa Claus wants some loving. I'm checking mom out because I'm ready to hit before the kids wake up. I'm trying to tell you, you gotta check all these three recordings for your holiday listening. Again,
damn,
Duke, that's early let me put it in your music,
man. I just was so entertained by all three of these records. And let me repeat one more time, Duke Ellington, Sugar Rum Cherry, okay, his remix of Tchaikovsky's Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, Clarence Carter, Backdoor Santa, which is the backbeat to Run DMC's Christmas in Hollis, but Clarence Carter is on a self mission at the back door, my G. And number three on that list, which is actually a little bit more explicit than the others, is Albert King's Santa Claus Wants Some Loving, because he is lyrically saying, what's up, Ma? Let's get it in.
Damn, let's get it on.
So, no doubt, indeed. So, what else we got jumping here? I think I only got one more topic to go.
Well, before you do that,
please.
I thought you was going to talk about some Lou Rawls Christmas music or something, because he damn sure got some good-ass Christmas music.
But nah.
He went all
off, the deep end with his Christmas music, like the selections that ain't nobody thinking about during Christmas time. Niggas is thinking about that happy jolly music.
Hey man, hey, these are legitimate holiday songs, my G.
Legitimate.
Check
too.
Them out.
Somebody like that makes fucking bastardized versions of Christmas songs.
Oh my goodness. End up loving it though.
Mm. Yeah, right. Because the beat I have them head nod.
Man, wait till you hear that Albert King track though. It's fire. Oh, shit. No doubt. All right, so the next last thing on the Hip Hop Digest is here, and I'm basically, this is just a quick opinion here as we go. This is old news, you know what I'm saying? This is just really old news. Your boy is back in the headlines again, Quentin Miller. Quentin Miller rants over Nas and Drake ghostwriting accusations. Now, this is one of these things that, again, you have to use your fiduciary, you know, landscape of an old head, just to be honest here. You know, Quentin Miller is like, don't call me a ghostwriter. Okay? It's awfully hard not to call you a ghostwriter when there's a dozen or more tracks of you rapping the Canadian Cats lyrics. You know, and I would say that, okay, maybe like on a Nas record, maybe you wrote the hook, or maybe you even wrote the melody to the record and sung background harmony. Okay, maybe you're more want to be considered a session musician. I get that. Okay. And the ghostwriting thing, as far as the Canadian, is totally over with, because him and 21 Savage have already said that they've written each other's verses. Okay. So all of that, him, all of that shit's dead. All of that, you know, Drake is the nicest in a decade. That's long dead. Thank you very much. I feel partly responsible for that because
go ahead and pat yourself on the back.
No, not me.
Please don't throw your
not me
down.
As an individual, but me coming from the era that I come from, who had never bought it. Never, ever, ever bought it. Now, I could get hoodwinked by Deion Sanders, but I never got hoodwinked. I never got hoodwinked by that Canadian, okay? And now the cat, the feral cat, is totally out of the bag. You know what I'm saying? So that takes care of that. Poor Quentin Miller.
Why doesn't Mr. Miller just make a fucking album?
Because he can't sell no records, though. See? And that's what pisses
apparently
him.
Apparently he can.
No. That's why he's pissed.
He can sell them through other people's voices.
Yes.
Not on his own.
That's why he's pissed.
Damn.
Because he wants credit.
Okay, well, hey, Kurt, call Joey Badass and tell him to call Mr. Miller and help him along.
Yeah, Joey's
I don't
Joey's
see Joey
loving
Badass out there.
Joey's
mad
loving
about
it. He's getting checks.
Yeah, Joey's getting checks. And so be it. Who cares?
So the opening paragraph says rapper, and why are they calling him that? I don't know what he is, but he's not an MC. But anyway, Quentin
rapper.
Miller.
He's a rapper.
Okay.
He said rapper.
Quentin Miller seems to be at his wit's end with the music industry, and it's all over his collaborations with the likes of Nas, Big Sean, Ty Dolla $ign, and the most infamously Drake. Okay? And the reason why he's at his wit's end is because he wants credit. He doesn't want it.
But that wasn't the agreement when he dealt with these niggas, though. If you had went in there to at your boy Drake and would have been like, yo, I want credit for these shits, right? Put my name down as being the motherfucker that wrote this shit. Then you probably wouldn't have been up there that damn long. Your ass would have been out.
Oh, so check it out. He clears up something that we actually, as I'm going down and I'm reading it, he's actually clearing some things up. He said in an IG live rant, Quentin Miller nearly blew a gasket reacting to the criticism over the Nas collaboration, having earned credit on King's Disease album without actually appearing on the song. So he's not even on the fucking record, okay? But he probably wrote the melody and the hook. Assuming.
Sound like a pretty nice check to me.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? You know, but he wants to be considered a legitimate artist.
He'll be on a BT background story at some point.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Drake and 21 Savage recently admitted to writing each other's verses on their Her Loss album with very little criticism. So he's also saying, what a double standard. I'm writing verses and then I get a pin to tail on a donkey. Drake and 21 Savage do it and admit it and nobody is even tweaking.
But he does have a problem because nobody... As I recall, I don't have a perfect memory, but as I recall, it was more so getting shots at Drake for having a ghostwriter, not at Mr. Miller for writing shit. Nobody cared. It wasn't about him per se.
But that's
right?
I think this comes down to is two different worlds. In our world that we live in, we was going at Drake. Nigga was going at Drake hard.
Yes.
But in his world, in younger, they probably was coming at his ass like, nigga, shut the fuck up. You got paid or whatever. Keep your mouth shut.
Okay.
Don't be out here exposing shit like a motherfucking chick going kiss and tell. Nigga, we did what we did, and let's keep it moving.
Yeah, but you got your $40. Yeah. Now go.
Yeah, but you went and did what you did, and you don't think I'm going to do what I'm going to do?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, and that's basically his frustration. His frustration is, you know, I'm racking up a lot of billable hours. Okay? Racking up a lot.
But see, what he's doing is fucking his money up. Because ain't nobody going to want to fuck with him if you want to be out here talking about you want credit.
Now, let me tell you something. There are ghostwriters out there who are keeping their mouths quiet.
Rakim.
I don't know about that.
Shit, I'm sitting here trying to think.
Right, I don't know
now
about that. I'm thinking. Okay.
Summertime was written by fucking Rakim, nigga.
Nobody has been able to, you know, just like the Roxanne Shanté Big Mama record. No one right now has been able to confirm or deny that. But no, I'm talking about people who are like Consequence is a huge ghostwriter. Yeah, yeah. But he's keeping his mouth shut. You know, your boy, the cat your son like, who's really barred. He said he barred up.
Oh, yeah, Sci High.
Sci High. He's keeping his mouth shut.
Yeah, getting checks.
I mean, God damn it. Wouldn't that be awesome? By the time Kanye hits Skid Row, Sci High's like, fuck it. I wrote everything from 808 up.
But that would be very believable.
It would be. It would be. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. There are ghostwriters out there keeping their mouth shut. And maybe Kurt G's right. Maybe Quentin Miller just ought to just get paid and just fucking just do what you do. Because obviously what you do sells through other people.
Exactly.
So
he's a writer, not a biter.
I'm a biter, not a writer.
Shout out to Cameron.
Indeed, right.
Yeah, camera, flip that shit.
I know, right? No doubt. All right, so yeah, we got a lot of old news off, a couple of new things, some breaking news or whatever. We did our thing. Again, we gave rest in peace to those the weeks that we were out. So it's good to be back. We gonna work on getting our lab presence a little bit more, you know, together.
Send your $5 to the Hip Hop Digest Show.
Hey, man, that internet bill coming up.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
No doubt.
Oh, well, what is also coming up is the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm okay. I got some spots to still put in there. I'm contemplating a couple of things. There's a fourth quarter thing that's stupid. Good God
fourth
Almighty.
Fourth quarter's always nuts.
I know.
Last year, Magic, that album squeezed in on my fourth. He knocked somebody out.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Fourth quarter right now has got me considering, God damn, these people getting knocked off. Been in my joint all year.
Hey, so well, guess we will be seeing and hearing soon.
Yeah. It's definitely coming up.
I can say this. Your boy Apollo Brown made my list.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
Man.
He wasn't looking good for a minute there, but he came through.
Yeah, yo.
I'm going to tell you. Ooh,
that Fillmore joint.
Yes, sir. Straight through.
I want to give a shout out. I really do want to give a shout out to, no disrespect to my brother who works very hard during the year, but I tell you what, I want to give a strong shout out to Kali and Bars Weekly.
Oh, yes, sir.
My God. I've been pulling some joints off of there.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
yes.
My God.
This is what they do.
Man, them bulls over at Bars Weekly. Man.
San Diego to Hawaii.
Man.
let's shout out our brother, too, on the text chain. Who be What's throwing a gang of joints on
Man, Peter Johansson, another guy. He get up on the text chain
there's
and
a few
just
of them. Matt.
Yeah, Matt there. Throws some joints
on Matt
there
up there too. They back the truck up and dump it on you and shit.
Yes,
so
sir.
Dump guard.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You gonna get all them bars from them though. You gonna get them raps.
No doubt. I tell you what, man. Oh, man. I got to shout him, though. Man, that motherfucker Marlo 3. My fucking word.
Okay, I think we need to stop.
All right, yeah, I'm great. Well, I'm going to tell you
he's
what.
He's going down his list already.
Nah, I'm just saying, yo, that motherfucker Marlo, yo, I'm just saying, A young boy gonna be like, yeah, 21 Savage is better than Marlo. Oh, and that just make you wanna just slap the fire.
Well, in their world, he is better.
I know better.
Yeah, you gotta let him have that, B.
You gotta
let him
have it. Yeah. I know.
I know what you listen to if you think that.
Exactly.
So anyway, yeah, we're good. We're just rambling. It's time for Kerr G's world famous albums of the week.
All right. This week we got Sly Fifth Ave, Somebody's Gotta Do It. That's Sly Fifth Ave, Somebody's Gotta Do It. And Smooth Project Near You, that's Smooth Project Near You.
All right, no doubt. So, I'm going to give another shout-out really quickly. I'm going to give a shout-out to Buck Wild. I pulled out some old Buck Wild because of the passing of Granddaddy IU. And I'm thinking maybe you might want to play Represent for the Granddaddy IU part, I think. But the Buck Wild remix of Represent is stupid. So
you got it.
Who knows? Remix. Yeah, who knows? However you want to get down. So no doubt. It is. Hopefully, I can't even guarantee you next week, but I can guarantee you when we do it, we're going to freaking do it.
Right.
Good night, and thank you for
warned.
No doubt. Good night, and thank you for letting us serve you, Hip Hop Digest. Good night.
D. Peace.
One.
Hey, yo, Vern. Real recognize real, you feel me? This is divine purpose, doing a divine service. Feel like I'm doing the work of the church when I rhyme verses. Rappers don't think about what they saying, they just speaking. On these beats, we could either save heathens or free demons. Born in ghettos, our state of mind is nothing but toxic. Young niggas popping, nobody stopping, we all watching. Gossip about murder at the dinner table, it enable y'all to get your fucking caps peeled like a hot potato. These lyrics like a conversation. So the wrong line to the wrong state of mind's a deadly combination. We get conflicted by intuition. Can feel the right and wrong in every song in which we listen. Just being honest, my conscience be bothered by all the problems that's caused by music with drama created by dudes who want dollars. And I guess I can't find the honor. I don't give a fuck how many commas you counting, don't justify. Digging this hole we can't get out of, for real. Real shit, yeah, we need it. Too much bullshit, this the feedback. Let it breathe. We're the ones that want the realness. They gon' feel this. Cause the fake ones know the real's what they gotta deal with. One more time. This the feedback, let it breathe. We're the ones that want the realness. They gon' feel this. Cause the fake ones know the real's what they gotta deal with. One more time. The little kiddies wanna go viral, do any things I wouldn't advise to. Damn near suicidal, just so they could be idolized to. In neighborhoods you wouldn't survive, you tried to ride through. Too much pride to get a 9-to-5, so it's rapping or a life of crime. Ooh. We see it again and again, gotta get out the position they in. But nobody told them that every decision you make, yeah, you gon' have to face in the end. Gotta do an about face, run to the money, don't clout chase. But none of the money you getting gon' get you the knowledge you seeking without grace. Gang time, but we remain blind and we just say fine. New money, can smell the ignorance on us like canines. Can't wait for hindsight to get our fucking mind right. End up living in darkness, just trying to live in the limelight. Real shit, yeah, we need that. Too much bullshit, this the feedback. Let it breathe. We're the ones that want the realness. They gon' feel this. Cause the fake ones know the real's what they gotta deal with. One more time. Real shit, yeah, we need that. Too much bullshit, this the feedback. Let it breathe. We're the ones that want the realness. They gon' feel this. Cause the fake ones know the real's what they gotta deal with.
One cup of humble, one the evil, that's the recipe. It's the goat. In this rap circus here, I reign supreme. Solo on the scene, running circles round your favorite team. 10 years ago, my current situation was a dream. Color coordination, theme, peach and other greens. 10 years ago, I made this beat here and thought of cream. Abdul Kareem, on the court, snort for the lean. Paula Abdul in the jeans, spin the ballerine. Balaclava, aboriginal father, Halloween. Fresh jalapenos on the bun me. So check your fucking egos and that's why they wanna bun me. Prolific like Stanley, slice them like Stanley. Cause like saying like in raps is like plan B. Cause A was going over their heads, I'm taking over their heads. The fear debilitates and I froze the legs. I chose to defund, you chose the feds. Pose lows and she said, pick the threads, throwing clothes on the bed. See the outfit that matches the room. I'm trying to capture the mood. She's so passionate and fashion we swoon. It's 5 past, how fast do we swoon? Ride past and get some fried rice and dash before it's actually noon. Heat the hash on the back of the spoon. Lay back and we spoon. Lay tracks, make cash and kabooms. Cause I'd rather stack shells than to pay for views. Pay to play, play to lose. Playing puddles with your paper shoes. Pay-per-view rappers, I need 5G fast. You hit the gas and thought a virus comes from 5G max. 3D when I enter the glass. I was sent from the past to tell the future that it's meant to be fast. The best in the British Isles. Mitchell and S, the same colour as the Tate and Lyle. Coke white, British smile. Asian white, what a day in the life. Name the price, I was born for grace to say I was nice. You reverse once, but they never come to me twice. Cause I'll smoke you on your own shit and take all the light.
It's the truth.
Cause I'm cocky, but I'm not a cockney. Not city, we up north like David Hockney. You know the splash with the diving board. Making cash off my craft and staying tight with surviving poor. Staying humble, staying check, gotta find the door. Looked at my neck, that's what the heck they make diamonds for. I'm not letting my ego get the best of me. I'm not letting my ego get the best of me. I swear I'm not letting my ego get the best of me. One foot for humble, one the evil, that's the recipe.
Delicious.
I'm not letting my ego get the best of me. I'm not letting my ego get the best of me. I swear I'm not letting my ego get the best of me. One foot for humble, one the evil, that's the recipe.
Who's the goat?
Find this.
tie-dye cushions with five hipsters. Bizarre fights and a blurred night followed by five solicitors. Reserve flights, painting while birdside, training on world sides. And get Ray Charles to testify as all of our eyewitnesses. I want to convert light like photosynthesis. Complaining's worse, complain dispersions. How many this pattern ain't absurd? Lady boys in blouses, pattern as lady birds. I know a girl who's been around so much, she ain't sure if her own baby's hers. If it's so simple, why we still going through it? If you are single, pass your phone and don't ask me why I'm still going through it. No confrontation, I'll pretend I didn't spot you. Go add that naked 666 chicken to your goth nudes. Stuttering me like she's 666, like, oh my god, dude, how she do that? Oh shit, 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 from skater boys on neon scooters. Propose a toast to rumors, go get a pool slash and celebrate with two sambucas at Manjula's. Can't help it if our man is social. Spa day in St. Lucia with a foreign dude that hacks computers. For royalty, no loyalty, from Jesus into Judas. While trying to correlate some reasons as to why they shoot us. I live my life on the edge, might somersault off the ledge. They wanna haggle the fee, think I'm worth more if I'm dead. Think I hurt more when I cared, sent out to love, I do wrong. The golden child to my dad, the problem child to my mom. The only child of them both, with no child on my own. So when you look at each other, who has your child become? And though I'm humble to some, to gloat's pleasure. No options, I want both racks like cross dressers. Don't come separate like Nettie and Sealy. No, I didn't need a cosign and I meant it sincerely. Unloyal fans say I'm the best and seem to love me on hip hop. But when I switch, you switch and now I'm shit. Which one am I really? Do you do this for yourself or the world? Do you do this for yourself or the world?
Who do you do it for?
Should you really lose your health for the world? Should you really lose your health for the world?
What should you do it for?
Not everything glitters in hell. Down here is where the sinners rebel.
Down here.
Do I do this for myself or the world? Should I really lose my health for the world?
I told them, rock stone was my pillar last night. The sun rises, this concrete jungle shines bright. It blinds my eyesight, face like I sucked a lime. I don't want that limelight, that was sour to me. Vitamin D, just hand the solar power to me. And then with great solar power comes great responsibility. They don't respond for my ability, because I've learned to reinterpretate the powers of the Trinity. A grand rising, I feel the spirit's inner me. It's magnetizing, replenishing my energy. It's only right Shavon has sent for me. Come like the stars aligned and it was meant to be. Cause what it meant to me is, for those with tongue shall speak, those with eyes shall see. Your third eye will rise the mind to where it's meant to be. It's evidently evident that evidence is me. The evidence is true when you see us coming through to a stage show near you. Like the return of Ann Zinger or Nanny Maroon. We'll bang out the tune and you can hear the sounds of the war drums. Can't lose that warrior spirit until the war's done. So we move diligent, vigilant and militant, just to protect the innocent of the innocent. Cause they don't build great men, they kill them. Old man to my kids, older man to my children. I do this to instill them with a weapon they need against the anger, the hatred, the jealousy, the greed, the false pretenders, the evil people with their wrong agendas. It's even got us to the point we got our own people trying to end us. They say things they want to offend us, and even when they don't mean to, fam, they still do offend us. For all the lies they've told over the years has left us hurt and injured. Now let the true mend us.
Do you do this for yourself or the world? Do you do this for yourself or the world?
Who do you do it for?
Should you really lose your health for the world? Should you really lose your health for the world?
What should you do it for?
Not everything glitters in hell. Down here is where the sinners rebel.
Down here.
Do I do this for myself or the world? Should I really lose my health for the world?
To check her, the mic wrecker, rip the mad holes with the pecker. I crush punks to rumble, chop them like stubble, give any MC trouble. In switches like E-double, word to father, hot just like lava. Blowing up spots like Japs to Pearl Harbor. Refuse to pay dues, I use the ooze to kill off whole crews like Hitler did shoes. Now who's next to flex, bring it on. You figure my skills gone, then you dead wrong. Like child porn, I'm paying tight. You'll never take my name like Strike Night. Tearing that ass out the frame, right? I flow steady like the sands in the hourglass. Dropping math paragraph after paragraph. My staff is called steady flow. The granddaddy, UKC, Easy Rick, and Big Snow. And yo, I get flam hops, word to grandpops. When my jam drops, shit live on my nuts like lamb chops. The scam stops never. I demand props forever. Whatever's clever, cause I got my shit together.
Represent,
you know I represent. Drop your mic, shut the fuck up. don't make sound. It's the lumberjack, got the chopper whack, nigga down. Snapping necks with the bigger break backs on the tracks. Got a pump, nigga blood on the blade of my axe. I tear off limbs, talking like Tim's, blending in synonyms. Smoking punk motherfuckers like Stim. Step up, act like you want it, you can get it in three ways. On a mic with the hands up front of 12 gauge. Ready to flex, I know you wanna be rough next. What's next? I'm giving your girlfriend rough sex. Like underground, I get around. And yeah, I like SWV, but I ain't trying to go downtown. So come meet the Grim Reaper, the Crypt Keeper. Got force, and just like boss, I get deeper. I'm sick of hearing your actors on wax. Claiming you're breaking backs, you niggas is fake jacks. I lay you dead in the ghetto streets, your head in my metal meets. You scream like steam when the kettle beats. So kids, you better play the rear, or like that $5,000 love seat. Your ass is out of here. You know I represent. Yeah, you know I represent. Stains, spill brains, and broke bones. Step in my face with the games, you smoke homes. I come out blasting, doing your whole ass and fasting. It's daddy, you smooth assassin. My name spells defeat. The punks on the street, I back enough heat. My rhyme flow is fatter than cellulite. I got a master plan to blast a man faster than niggas can blink. It's disaster and mayhem and havoc on the scene. You see what I mean when I bust a 16 inch screen. You get the third leg, hold back. My skills are nasty, then I fart after eating the ball egg. I'm mighty nice. I got more high price hookers than Heidi Fleiss. Kids, you better check my rep. A quiet is kept. You catch a hole in your neck, so I step.
Represent,
you know I represent.
I represent.
Yeah, you know I represent.
I represent.
I got to represent.
I represent.
Yeah, you represent.
I represent.